describe the ruckus.
And it's gone now. I'm so happy.
Mom told me today that Pam likes it when we mention her in the podcast. So, hi, Pam.
Are we recording?
Probably not.
Isn't going to make any sense. Well, whatever. Oh, well, because I never know anymore.
We start everyone like this. What's happening?
What is happening? Who am I? What's going on? What day is it?
No, Mom said that Pam liked it when we mentioned her, like we're famous or something.
I did comment because she commented on the Instagram. On the Instagram. How old am I?
On the IG.
She commented on it and I was like, oh my God, you should come and be a guest speaker when Canada opens up, which will never happen.
Yeah, probably it'll never happen.
Ugh. This is some strong tea.
It's black,
which I'm fine with.
It looks like coffee.
It's not.
What flavor is it?
We watch a YouTuber. Her name is Alana, and she
is very roundabout.
It's very roundabout, but here it is. So her name is Alana, and she is Canadian, and she moved to the UK, and she's lived there for like 5 or 6 years, and she does YouTube videos describing like how to get a visa and all of these things. Adventures in Naps. Very cool. She did a tea thing where she bought like the top rated teas in the UK and did a taste test for all of them. And Yorkshire tea is one of them that so she top rated.
Skip the last minute 30 seconds.
It's Yorkshire tea. We can't find it anywhere around here. You pretty much have to order it on Amazon.
Oh. Like, this tea is it's so delicious. Good. You can't find it around here, though. You have to order it online.
I'm like a hipster.
A little bit.
My glasses and cardigan.
Yeah, I have no idea how you're wearing a cardigan. I'm in a sundress, and I'm, like, sweating to death.
Well, it's damp out. My feet are cold. Like, I could put on slippers. I don't know.
Ugh. I'd be sitting here in a swimsuit if that wouldn't be weird.
It's like, at work today, everybody was walking around with like tank tops on and like t-shirts and stuff. And I have like my cardigan and my sweater, a sweater underneath my cardigan.
Yeah. You're wearing a sweater underneath your cardigan.
Yeah. Anywho. Okay.
Ugh.
We don't have any announcements, right? This is just.
I don't think so. You know
either.
What? I think when we did the last one, I'm like, what is this? What does this mean? What does that mean? And then I'm like, oh, fuck it. We'll just talk about it in the next one. And then I didn't do that.
It was 28 days later was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever. Here we go. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to be discussing the ghostly 1980 thriller, The Changeling, starring George C. Scott and Trish Vandeveer.
Vandeveer.
Perfect.
That's how I would say it.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Changeling is based on true events.
What?
Shocker number one.
Shocker, well, yeah, color me shocked.
The story was, he sounds so excited. Wow, that's shocking, Erin.
Tell me more.
The story was by Russell Hunter. It's based on true events from the Henry Treat Rogers Mansion in Colorado.
That's like, really cool.
Well, supposedly these things happened to him, but, you know, people researched it. They couldn't find out if he ever lived there. It's that kind of
thing.
Well,
it's like any based on true events.
Yeah. So,
loosely based.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Loosely based on true events, or maybe it's all 100% true. Who knows? But it's almost, the story that he told was almost exactly this.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That he like found a well with a body in it, and that he found like
spoilers.
Well, we'll get there eventually. But yeah, so his story was written into a screenplay by Diana Maddox and William Gray, okay. And they did like months and months of paranormal research to like make it as accurate as they could.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to go into it?
Yeah, well, I'll do the cast here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it stars George C. Scott as John, the main character. Trish Van Devere, who plays Claire. She's part of the Historical Society. And then Melvin Douglas, who plays Joe Carmichael, the senator. And mm-hmm. we'll talk more about that. Jean Marsh. I wanted to bring her up because I just dug out this like super cool fact about her. She plays George C. Scott's wife in it. She is also the witch in The Return to Oz.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's when you were sitting on the couch and I was like quickly scribbling notes. That's what I was gasping about.
That is so cool. Now I want to look her up. Like, mm-hmm. so
because you can definitely tell in her IMDb photo that it's her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. With all the heads.
Ugh. Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't look up any of the cast or into any of that jazz.
And then Michelle Martin, who plays George C. Scott's daughter, Kathy, she was in Top Secret.
Who is she in Top Secret?
She's just one of the Pizza House girls.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then George and Trish... 4 years previous or prior to this, were in Beauty and the Beast as Beast and Belle.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In the 1976 rendition of Beauty and the Beast.
What's Trish's... Who does she play?
She plays Belle. Or what does Trish play in this?
Yeah.
She plays Claire.
I think that was George C. Scott's wife. In real life.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You can look it up.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I just like...
It would make sense because they seem to be in a lot of films together.
Yeah, they were in 7 or 8 films together as like husband and wife, or while they were married. I don't know if they got divorced or whatever happened with it, but
oh my God, yeah, from 1972 to whenever George C. Scott died.
So, oh really?
1999. It just says married 1972. Oh, died 1999. Okay. So that's cool. Wow, they were together for a while.
The director was Peter Medic, and I couldn't find like many films that I recognized him as the director of.
Okay.
But from like 1965 on, he did a ton of TV. He directed episodes of Hannibal, Breaking Bad, Tales from the Crypt, and Twilight Zone.
Oh, Tales from the Crypt.
But there was like a ton of TV, but I just like picked a handful of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And Howard Blake wrote the music box, like theme.
Yeah.
Which also George C. Scott did. He learned how to play piano.
Like, you can tell that it's
not like
him
crazy,
playing.
But you can see him like start out, and then when it gets like more intense, mm-hmm. then you don't see what his hands are doing anymore. He's just playing.
Yeah.
But Howard Blake, he wasn't listed as doing the soundtrack, but mm-hmm. he did that little bit. And then he also did a ton of music for Flash Gordon.
Flash.
Is that the theme for that?
I think so.
I think you made that up.
I didn't. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. All right. I think that's like all the... Oh, another thing that's kind of interesting is the mansion that the story is based
Which
on.
Which is beautiful. It's super cool.
That mansion's all fake. Sorry to... Yeah. They built like a fake front to a house in a location that they liked. And I guess it cost $200,000.
Oh, my gosh.
To build that.
Well, in 1980, too, like, that's a lot of...
Yeah. So they built, like, a fake front to a house, mm-hmm. and then all the other stuff was set.
I feel like they do that for a lot of films.
Yeah. The mansion that, like, the true events were based on was built in a neighborhood in, I want to, somewhere in Colorado. And it's like a super fancy area. And in 2010, there was irrigation workers and they found bones. And apparently some parts of it were built on old cemetery.
Isn't that the case in any haunted house, town, just built over a cemetery?
Yeah. So the house wasn't real, unfortunately. Okay. Do you want to start telling the story, or what do you want to do?
Hell yeah, I do. Okay. So the story starts out, and it's sad.
Oh, we should probably do a trigger warning for child death, because it's pretty freaking terrible.
Yes.
We didn't talk about that beforehand.
We didn't talk about that beforehand, but I'll put it in the Instagram post.
Yeah.
Because we film a week prior. But I'll put that in there because it's graphic.
Both of them are. I think the second one is worse.
The second one is way worse.
Okay.
So it starts off, and George C. Scott, I'm doing the thing where we just say the actor names instead. It's fine.
Is his name John?
His name's John Russell.
Okay.
So John and his family are going somewhere in Colorado. I think it takes place in Colorado or upstate New York or something.
It's like the opening scene.
It's the opening scene.
It says November 27th, upstate New York.
Perfect. I watched this yesterday. No joke. Anyway, upstate New York, November. Mm. Great. So it's super snowy. It's broad daylight, whatever. And their car breaks down. And so they're like pushing the car, and it's him, his daughter, his young daughter, who's like 7 or 8 or something, maybe a little bit older.
Yeah. I don't know. You can't really tell because she's like all bundled up.
Yeah. And his wife. And they're pushing the car. And then there's a phone booth that he goes to like call a tow truck from. He goes to call the tow truck. And trouble ensues. You see a big like salt truck or something coming down. Yeah. And then another car that's driving all cattywampus on the other side.
And their car's broke down. They've been pushing it, and they can't really get onto any kind of shoulder. And they're kind of in a bend in the road.
Yeah.
So the salt truck, or like sander.
Yeah. It's not, I feel like that the salt truck like would have been out of the way had it not been for the other car.
Yeah. So one car swerves to miss the other one, and they crash into the parked car, and it was pretty
shocking. And I don't know if I would say graphic, because you don't see any blood or anything, but you definitely know they get run over. So his wife and daughter are tragically killed. And then it shows him like packing up his apartment like 4 or 5 months later in New York.
I want to say it's like 4 months later that he moves.
Because I want to say he met with the Historical Society in Seattle, where he ends up in like March yeah. or April. So he's packing up all of his stuff, and the maid, I think it's the maid, was like going through things, and a ball falls out.
Yeah, it's like a red ball with a white stripe on it.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, it was Kathy's, you know, and it's just...
The whole thing is really sad. So he basically decides that he's going to quit his job in New York and move to Seattle, which it kind of sounds like he was either from or visited a lot.
Yeah, he seemed very familiar with that area.
So he decides to move back. He wants to be alone so that he can compose.
Yeah.
He's a piano player, or not even a piano player.
He's like
player.
A composer. A composer, yeah.
So he wants somewhere where he can be alone, where he can play music and not bother people. So he works out a deal through the Historical Society, mm-hmm. and ends up renting this like beautiful Victorian.
I have issues like... with this, because how much is he paying in rent? Because it has to be like 20 rooms. Is he just like, did he work out a deal where he's helping the university and the Historical Society to...
It might have been something like that.
I mean, how much money do composers make?
And no one had lived there for 12 years.
Okay, that's true.
So they probably just needed to get somebody in there so it didn't just...
According to Minnie, the secretary at the Historical Society, that house shouldn't have anyone living in it.
Well,
and it was a mistake.
You find that out later.
Yeah.
But like... Yeah, so the house sat empty, so he moved in. I don't know. I don't think he'd have to pay a ton. It would be a bitch to heat.
No kidding.
It's this, like, it's 4 stories. Well, it's, like, 3 stories and then, like, attic rooms.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's beautiful. But fake, unfortunately.
It reminds me of a larger version of the Home Alone house.
Yeah.
With like the attic rooms and stuff.
Yeah, kind of. so we both just stopped talking.
That's okay. So he meets with a historical society. He befriends, I don't know if she's like the main person at the society or not. Her name's,
I think she just works there.
Yeah. Her name's Claire, and she turns out to be extremely helpful to him. Mm-hmm. Like,
he also, around that time, he meets Mr. Tuttle, the caretaker, who doesn't mm-hmm. really have like a huge part in it.
No.
And it was shortly after that that you kind of, it's like the first sign of haunting in the house.
Yeah.
Is it the piano key?
It is the piano key.
Yeah. He's playing, gets up, whatever, walks away from the piano, and then it like zooms in on the piano and just like one single note plays.
Yeah. Which anytime I've noticed when there's like a haunting in a house and there's a piano, like the piano is the first thing to like give it away.
Have you been to my house when Frank's played the piano?
No, and I don't want to.
My cat, Frank, is not afraid of stepping on the keys on the piano. So if we leave it open,
he's like playing show tunes.
He jumps up there and he just walks back and forth on it. Yeah. I'll be in the basement and Frank will start playing the piano.
You yell up the stairs, Frank!
And then he's sitting right next to me.
Whoa. That'd be terrifying.
Then he starts to hear noises in the house, like he's not alone.
There's like banging noises, and it's every day at 6 a.m.
Yeah. And then
he hires, like, the maintenance guy goes down in the basement, and he's just like, I don't know, it's an old house. No explanation.
That comes in, I think, like a little bit later. Well, maybe not. He ends up going horseback riding with Claire, which I thought was like,
because she shows up at his house to like drop off like documents or whatever. And she's in like riding boots and like riding pants.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you ride?
Yeah. So she drops off like some historical photos. And then it's the next day, I think, at 6 a.m. There's pounding. Okay. And then the caretaker can't find it. So it's just pounding that lasts for like 30 seconds. Sounds like somebody's pounding on the pipes.
Yeah.
The caretaker's like, oh, it's an old house, blah, blah, blah. Later that night, well, I think it's later that night, he has people over to his house to play.
Yep.
Like what he's working on.
And they're his students, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
and he finds a sink running, and then it sounded like a raccoon chattering.
Yeah, it sounds like a raccoon chattering. And he goes upstairs to one of the bathrooms. And he looks, or is it in the sink?
No, it's in the bathtub. Okay. So he turns off the kitchen sink. And then I think there's like another sink.
There's another sink.
And then he goes up to the third floor and the bathtub is filling up with water.
Yeah.
And when he leans over the bathtub, he sees like a body under the water.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, I couldn't tell if that was his daughter or not.
It's not. It's the kid.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
But they kind of make it out to be like, maybe it's the daughter haunting him because, like, the ball shows up weird places. Yeah. And, like, stuff like that. So
maybe.
I kind of, you know, I didn't know. This is the first time I've seen this.
Because when you don't know that it's, like, a boy haunting.
Yeah.
You kind of, yeah, I get that.
Well, then he goes to the Historical Society again, and he starts researching this house.
Which I want to comment on the Historical Society's, like, patio.
It beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
There are plants all over the place. It's, like, on... It reminds me of pictures I've seen of Times Square, like the corner building.
Yeah, like the really skinny buildings. Yeah.
Corner building, and it's like the second or third floor up. I can't remember. But it's a beautiful balcony with like glass doors that open up.
Mm-hmm.
And like George C. Scott's just like standing out there smoking a cigarette, like hanging out with Claire talking about
that. But everything's like stone.
It's beautiful.
And there's like all these sweet potted plants.
Mm-hmm.
I want a space like that. Maybe Greg will build that for me off of my roof.
A little balcony with flowers.
Mm-hmm.
That was Pam's wish in the office.
I can go out there and sing and, like, brush my hair.
Naked. at night. Don't get murdered.
It went a totally different direction. I was like Disney princessing it.
Oh, yeah. Put bird feeders out there. I'm sure you'll get something.
Well, while he's at the Historical Society, he gets like hints from the woman, the older woman Minnie. That works there.
She looks super familiar, but I can't place her in anything. And I tried looking her up on IMDb, and it was just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she like mentions... Like, no one should live in that house, yeah. or that house isn't fit to live in. She says something like that, and he's like, what, why? And then she walks away. Like,
thanks.
Thanks for nothing.
She looks like the witch from The Watcher in the Woods.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of. That was a good one.
Is it scary enough to do?
It was terrified me.
Well, yeah, child. When you were little, it was scary. I think it's a Disney movie, isn't it?
It is a Disney movie.
So then I don't know how much time had passed, but the next scene he's leaving the house and a window breaks from the inside.
From the inside, and it's like red tinted like stained glass.
Yeah. So he like looks all over the house for the stained glass, and it's in one of the attic windows.
Yeah.
Which is spooky. And then he finds a secret door.
Yeah. He goes up the stairs and he's searching all over the place. He determines like which side of the house it is, whatever.
Yeah.
And he finds this closet and it's just filled with stuff. And then like he goes to turn the light off and he looks up and he notices that like a door is boarded up.
Yeah. He notices like nailed boards behind it. So of course.
Why not?
That's like my dream to find like a secret room.
Do you remember when we were moving out of the farmhouse and we like tore the house apart looking for secrets?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, there wasn't like furniture in there, so it was like easier to look around for like loose floorboards and like, I mean, Dad was pretty good about like measuring window to window on the inside and outside so that you couldn't have a secret room. But Deanna had a secret room in her house.
Dad did that?
Yeah. Dad checked that house for secret rooms.
What a weirdo. I mean, I understand it, of course, but I didn't know that.
If you moved into an old farmhouse, you wouldn't look for secret rooms.
A dead body room?
Not even a dead body room. Just like a secret room.
Yeah. Well, you always like hear of the old houses and they have like extra space or something.
That's what I'm saying right now.
Yes.
Okay. Like if you walked to the end of the hallway in the upstairs and it was just like a dead end. And then there was the stairs were walled over on the other side. How long would it take before somebody found out?
Like, well, they did that find was dead space. The sliding door.
Well, yeah, but that was a door. I'm saying that you could have boarded that stairway off at the top and bottom.
And no one would know.
And unless you looked outside, like, hey, where does that window go? You'd have no idea.
Secrets.
Secrets are no fun. Secrets hurt someone. You ever heard that?
Yeah. It is said by a stripper in The Office.
Is it really?
Yeah. Michael asks her for advice. And that's the advice she gives him.
It's solid advice, okay?
So he starts like tearing the boards off and he finds a secret room at the top of the stairs, which is covered in cobwebs. How do they make movie cobwebs like that? Because it's so cool. Everything's just like layered on. It's almost like fabric, but spider webs.
I think they probably go through with like something better than like Halloween.
Absolutely. Spider webs. They would have to.
No, I can work magic with those things.
Yeah.
They look pretty good. But then they go through and then with something like that and then do like dust over the top.
Okay.
To me. I don't know if that's what they do. That's what I'm guessing.
We should look that up. I'm going to write that down.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
So in the secret room, there is a wheelchair, a desk, and there's stuff on it from 1909. There's some random little like toy soldiers and stuff and a music box. When he opens the music box, this part's fucking creepy. If I were him, I would have like moved right out of that house.
I don't understand why he stayed. Go on.
Well, we always say that.
But yeah.
The music that plays in this old music box has like no origin, which is weird because for it to be in a music box, it should... Don't do that. Just put it on...
Just let me... I'm just going to drink it fast and put it back in.
Oh, okay. What is Mike sighing about?
I'm drinking tea and the tea bag. It's a thing.
Put it on your clipboard. Take your note. Not on the paper. Oh, my God.
I'm a child.
So they couldn't find the origin of the music, which they thought was weird because for it to be in a music box, it should be popular. People should have heard about it before. Well, it's the same exact thing that John had just composed and recorded.
Yeah. And he had never heard it before or heard anything like that before. No.
So then, you know, it's getting pretty weird. So then he starts trying to track down this ghost because now he's got a date. He knows it was somebody that was in a wheelchair.
Which he's very, I guess if you're having all of those things happen, you would be open to the possibility of the paranormal.
Well, they actually say it in this and they say it in other films that we've watched too, that if you're like emotionally weak, you're more likely to have spirits try to contact you. What is that noise? Is that Cooper?
The kids upstairs.
Oh, a ghost.
A ghost.
So they start looking through like the old timey, whatever that is.
Through the records.
Through the records.
Yeah.
And they find out that a little girl that lived in the house was struck by a coal cart. He visits her grave. And his friends are telling him to leave the house, but he doesn't want to. So then he's under the impression that it's the ghost of this little girl.
Yes.
So what did you think about the ball rolling down the stairs?
I told Mom this after I got done watching it. I said it's one of the creepier older movies that I've seen.
Yeah. Because I
was pretty surprised at how creeped out I was by this.
So the scene that we're talking about, a ball rolls down the stairs and like stops at his feet. And then he goes and chucks the ball off the bridge.
Yeah.
He's like, screw this. I'm not dealing with this. Well, then when he gets back, the ball rolls down the stairs and stops.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you about that because I know you like the newer films a lot.
Yeah.
And you a lot of times can't get into the older ones.
This one I was into. Like Mike was cooking dinner last night and I was in the living room going like, why would you do that? What do you...
Well, it relies... I think the older films rely way more on suspense.
On actual...
And actually being scary that you like think about later as opposed to just like jump scares.
Yes.
Because well, this thing could have been filled with fucking jump scares. There could have been one every 10 minutes.
I have talked about this, and I think if this film was actually redone, like, to today's standards, I think they would rely more on jump scares
than
actually just doing, like, a remake of the movie.
Because this is, like, a suspense thriller, you know? It builds up. Because, like, Greg, he said, like, when he was watching it with me, he said it was kind of slow starting. Mm-hmm. But it like builds up and you had watched the first half and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can get into this. And then without talking about it, you're like, OK, that was spooky.
Yeah, because I had watched the first like half an hour of it 2 days ago and then totally forgot
we were supposed to record.
Right. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, I'll just watch the rest of it tonight and whatever. And I got really into it. I liked it.
Yeah, I really, really liked it, too. So then the ball rolls down the stairs again. And he does, I think, what I would have done. He invites a medium.
Yeah.
To, like, come and figure this shit out.
And this was, from what I know of mediums and, like, what I've seen on TV and crap, this is a more realistic version of, like, what I think that they would do.
Yeah.
In comparison to, like...
Because there's two people and there's like the like psychic kind of medium and then she's got an assistant that's helping her.
And then there's John and Claire that sit in on it. And then one of Claire's roommate or something is there too.
Yeah.
And she's in it a little bit throughout the film. But it was super cool.
Yeah.
And the woman's voice.
Well, she just kind of talks in like a deadpan voice when she like gets in a trance. And then they do the paper thing, and I don't know what that's called. Write that down so I can see it next week.
It's called, because they do it in The Possession of Michael King, too.
Yeah.
It's like free writing or something.
No, that's a college class.
Okay, we'll keep talking. I'll look it up.
So they invites medium, as you should. The medium immediately finds the secret room. Like, she just walks in the house and, like, walks right up the stairs to the room. When she's doing her thing, they find out that the ghost is a child that's not at peace. His name's Joseph, and he needs John's help. And then they do another kind of, like, psychic reading thing with that cone. Do you know what that was?
No, but I thought it was really cool, because they have... So they have, like, a big metal cone in the center of the table, and then a glass of water filled with ice.
Yeah.
And then the recording thing, and just, like, sheets and sheets and sheets of paper.
Yeah, so they find out the information that they do while she's, like, scribbling on the paper. Sorry.
I can't. Me. That's just going to have to be something that I that find we add later. On. Yeah.
And John is recording this all. Which is, like, I think a lot of newer films have stuff like this.
Yeah. Some type of, like, visual evidence in the film.
Yeah. He records it, and then he plays it back over and over again at, like, different speeds to kind of look for more information. And he finds out that there's something to do with Sacred Heart Orphanage.
Yes.
So then it gets, like, even more confusing, because you're like, okay, a kid died in the house.
Not the girl.
It wasn't the girl. It was a little boy named Joseph. And then his last name is Carmichael. So then, like, Senator Carmichael, like, you don't really know what's going on.
You don't know. And I actually, so I watched this, and then I read the Wikipedia because I needed it, like, kind of explained to me. Because it's really hard for me to follow through movies like this where, like, something happened in, like, this decade and it all, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. When the timeline is kind yes. of iffy. Yeah. So basically, he looks more into it. And finds out that Senator Carmichael, who's, like, super crazy rich, is actually...
Joseph Carmichael, to be exact.
Yes. Joseph Carmichael has... The original Joseph was replaced.
Yes.
You don't know that quite yet?
No.
But, yeah. So, they find out... Or when John's looking for the information, he finds out that the Spencer family... is Carmichael's original wife way back.
I kind of wrote a timeline, actually.
Oh, you did?
So it's super cool. So Emily Spencer married Richard Carmichael, and this was in, like, 1918, late 1800s. And the Spencer dynasty, I guess, if you can call it that for Americans.
Fortune.
Yeah. Super duper rich. She married Richard Carmichael, who also, I think, was, like, mediocre, wealthy. Like, he wasn't as high as Spencer.
He wasn't, like, Spencer rich, but he was probably well off, or they wouldn't have.
Yeah.
It would have been
that
match.
Wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
So Richard and Emily had two children, Joseph and Cora. Cora died coal accident. And then Joseph had, does it go into what happened to him?
I think it was more, I don't think it was something, an accident. I think he had, like, a degenerative disease.
Okay.
So he was in a wheelchair. He was fragile, got sick a lot. Mm-hmm. Is that how far you got, or did you get the rest of it?
I have more.
Okay.
So Emily Spencer's dad had it in his will that when Joseph hit 21, he would get all of this money.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't hit 21 and something horrible happened to him, all of the money was going to go to charity.
Yeah.
How awful. So Richard is kind of freaking out because he has a son that he loves and whatever. But that son isn't going to hit 21.
No, that's a lot to gamble with.
So Richard does something. Well, fuck. He drowns his son in a bathtub in his room.
Yeah. And that we'll get into like the haunting ties in with that.
So he does that and then he adopts a 6-year-old boy, mm-hmm. names him Joseph, takes him to Switzerland, and it's World War One. So as soon as you go to Switzerland, like
he had to stay there. He couldn't come back. And by the time they came back, Joseph was 18.
Yeah. And so people were like, oh, you're Joseph. Okay, cool. Like,
yeah, I mean, people wouldn't know any better. It's not like they were posting shit on Facebook. Like, here's my kid growing up.
Yeah.
Look how healthy. Well, they took him to Switzerland. Or what's Richard is the dad?
Richard's the dad.
Richard supposedly took his son overseas to Switzerland to get like special treatments. Yeah. So he came back cured. Nobody questioned it. No one had seen the kid since he was 6.
And
so,
and Richard had a christening medal made for him that said Joseph Carmichael, 1906, or not 1906, when he was born, 1900.
Yeah.
From the same place that made the original Joseph's medal. Yes.
So the original Joseph was buried.
It makes me sick to my stomach.
Like, yeah.
Ugh.
I'll get back to like the storyline.
Yeah, well, that's the gist of how the will was working and stuff and why Richard was an asshole and
so all John other stuff. Is like putting the pieces together and realizes that Senator Carmichael is a replacement and not part of the Carmichael.
He's a changeling.
Yes. Which did you look that? Did you know that already?
Yeah.
Or did you? Okay. For those that don't know, a changeling is when like fairy or like fae abduct a baby and put one of their own, abduct a human baby and put one of their own in its place.
They talk about it in Outlander a lot.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm. The fairy lore. Because Claire like touches a changeling baby and then they like blame her. It's like this big storyline.
Oh, well, yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
So good.
So John is like doing all this investigating and there is something, does something come up in the seance about like a well or hole or something like that?
It's
something like directs him towards the idea that he could be in a well.
So the, something directs him there, but the ranch, like the family ranch, that the Carmichaels live on was sold to someone. And so something does direct him to go to the ranch, but he meets with a cartographer that has I don't know if it's a cartographer, house plans or whatever.
I mean, a cartographer does maps.
Yeah, but I thought that there was
He has maps over the years to show how the area has changed.
Okay.
So he can go back far enough to find out where their ranch was, because he thought, okay, well, there wasn't one on the property, so where else could somebody like ditch this body?
And there is a well.
Yes. hold on just a second. I lost where I was at. Okay, it's the Spencer farm. So he finds out that a whole neighborhood has built over this old farm. He finds out where the well would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird. They just go up to the house. And
the woman's just like, yeah, absolutely. Well, there's more to it
because he finds the house. He goes, explains the situation that there's a well and blah, blah, blah. And she says that she never would have believed him except her little daughter. Her room is over the well. And the little daughter had a dream that
the night of the seance,
had a dream that there was a little boy or some type of creature crawling out from the floor.
Can you imagine?
I would fucking die. I would have to move out of my house.
Even as an adult. Sleeping in bed, la la la, having a good old time. And then waking up to
because it wasn't a dream, like it was actually happening.
Crawling out of a well in your house.
In your fucking bedroom right next to your bed.
I would poop my pants.
I would
freak out. There's no way on this green earth that I would stay in that house And like the daughter goes and like sleeps in her mom's bed and stuff for like the other nights. I just no way.
And then I
sleep outside.
I thought about how much scarier they could make that, like with modern day technology.
Oh my God, I'm picturing it in my head.
It would be like
it's giving me like daymares. The ring,
kind of like all distorted and like weird. And he was very small and sick, so he'd be very skinny.
I imagine like the kid from The Grudge, like how that kid looked.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to take a drink. I thought you were going to continue talking, so I thought I could like sneak a drink.
But I just pictured that and the well and my bedroom, and I just want to cry.
So then that night, the daughter has another nightmare where she kind of like sleepwalks into the room, has another freak out. So she gives the okay to John and Claire to come dig up the floor. So when they dig up the floor, they find the well, they call the police, and they find bones, but they don't find the pendant.
So they can't really link.
Yeah, they can't make a connection.
Which I think in today's society, like, they would be able to do, like...
Well, they would, like, DNA test it.
Yeah.
Like, they would be able to do something.
I've seen enough Bones episodes. No, just kidding, because a lot of that stuff is... I've seen enough Bones episodes.
So John is... He wants to find this pendant so that he has proof.
Yeah.
And he sneaks back in at night because obviously the mom and daughter aren't staying there with the police and everything. And he digs and digs and finds the pendant.
Well, and the police officers like question him, like, how did you know this was under here? And he was like, oh,
I don't know. I just guessed.
And Claire's like, why didn't you just tell them?
Because then if he didn't go around it, if he would have went through like the legal system, then it would have gotten shut down.
Because as we know, we don't need to go into that. But no,
because it does. Because Carmichael finds out that he's like snooping around.
Yeah.
And like getting into his family business.
Minnie, the historical society secretary, like totally.
Yeah. She's like keeping an eye on him and like getting back to Carmichael.
Yeah.
So he has the pendant now and he's the medallion, and John tracks down Carmichael at the airport.
And Claire, before John leaves, is like, well, you're never going to get past them. And John's like, yes, I will. And he just like,
so they like take him out.
Never would have happened.
The senator like sees him acting like a loon, waving around the pendant. So he kind of is like, oh, like. He, like, gets on the plane and,
it's
like...
It's a little suspicious, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but he thinks he's getting blackmailed.
Which, I'm trying to think of, like, how it could have been...
I don't have any money, so I don't know what it would be like to be blackmailed.
I don't know either. What's that like?
Like, I don't know what's happening with that. So he fails with that. They kind of take him out. Well, when he gets home, this was scary. Every single door in the house slams.
Yeah. Well, John didn't succeed.
He didn't succeed.
And the kid is mad.
But I thought he was kind of moody. Like, so then a detective shows up. And,
Detective DeWitt.
Yeah.
Well, because Carmichael calls. It's super cool to see how stuff transpired then as opposed to like now. Like Carmichael has like a phone on the plane, and
which was a hot deal.
Or no, he doesn't have a phone on the plane.
He has it in the car,
but he writes down like John's name on a piece of paper and hands it to the pilot, like, radio this name in, and it's like this big deal.
Yeah. Where, I mean, it's how technology's changed in 40 freaking years.
And so Carmichael hires this detective Detective DeWitt to go and like shake down.
He kind of does. He's like, what do you want? What are you like doing? Like, why are you snooping around here and there?
And what pissed me off, and it happens so many times, and it might happen in real life. I don't know. I've never been in a situation like that. But where the detective or the investigator or whatever is just like, well, you just lost family. Someone in your emotional state could just make up all sorts of things.
Yeah, I don't know if that happens or not. People probably think that a lot.
But it makes me angry.
Well, yeah. Like, he kind of gets treated like he's having a breakdown. Well, then Claire comes over, and Claire said that she was forced to resign.
Yeah.
Plus, she has all her hair piled up in one of those cute little hats.
It's a... Yes! So, we have not even touched on 1980 fashion in Seattle, because it's amazing. Claire always has, like, long trench coats, which I am all about trench coats. I have, like, five of them. I love them. But she has one that's, like, draped over her, and her arms aren't in the sleeves either.
Yeah, she just has those, like, yeah.
She's too cute. And, yeah, she has one of those tight-knit hats with all of her hair shoved up underneath.
Yeah.
She's just a fashion
Not
icon.
Like when I'm wearing a tight-knit hat with all of my hair shoved up underneath.
You look like a dude.
And I look like a dude. She's got, like, the cat eye mascara, and all her hair is piled under this, like, stylish little hat, not like my gray Merrill hat that I wear every day.
Yeah. She's super cute, and I love it.
So then she... So oh, Claire leaves.
And his lease is terminated.
Oh, yeah. His lease is terminated. Nothing happens with his job, I don't think.
No.
But they're, like, definitely putting the heat on him to, yeah, like, back off.
And, like, DeWitt leaves saying he's going to come back in an hour for a warrant.
Oh, yeah.
To, like, tear the house apart looking for this medallion or whatever. And John's like, okay. He's essentially...
Come back in an hour. Fine. Fuck you.
Come at me, bro.
Because they're like, well, we can do it. You can hand it over right now or we'll tear this whole house apart.
We can do it the hard way.
And he's like, I guess we're doing it like that. Bye.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Bye.
George C. Scott. Bye. Come back with a warrant. Oh,
love him.
Oh, yeah. He gets evicted. Claire's forced to resign. Well, then after she left, shortly after, she just stopped in. When she was leaving, she saw DeWitt's car rolled over and him dead.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't understand. Like, she calls John. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
I don't understand. There were no cars on the road. Like, what happened? And, like, John, during this time, or before Claire calls, a mirror is smashed.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets, like, a shard kind of, like, in his neck. He's not, like, mortally wounded or anything. But it goes into his neck and, like, causes him to bleed. And then he sees a picture. Like, he sees, doesn't he see DeWitt, like, spinning in the car?
Kind of,
yeah. Or
is
that the audience seeing him?
I think that's the... audience,
okay.
Maybe. I'm not exactly sure. But that happens, like, when the mirror breaks.
Yes.
So he finally gets to meet with the senator, which I have...
This is good.
I have tons of stuff to say about the senator's house before we get into anything else.
Yeah, let's discuss, because it's a lot to unpack.
Okay. So he lives in this big, giant mansion with, like, tons of staff. Like, big, giant, giant mansion. It is Hatley Castle. It's in...
Oh, you have, like, real stuff to say about it.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
It's
even better.
It's in Colwood, British Columbia. This is all the things that that mansion was used for.
Oh, goodness.
It's the Queen Mansion in Arrow. It's in...
Michael! That's so cool. I'm going to look up pictures now of the inside.
It's in an episode of Supernatural, and I know Mom is going to want to know what one. So, season 13, episode 5. It is also the school in X-Men. It is the Osborne estate in Spider-Man, and it's the Luther Mansion in Smallville.
All of the things that I love.
Yes.
That's very cool. I could... the X-Men thing with the sliding doors and shit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but yes. I didn't put it together until I looked it up, because I'm like, oh, this is cool. And it's actually... I didn't write it down. It was on, like, a military training area, okay, like, way, way back, and now it's a university campus. But
that's,
yeah,
so fun. Can you imagine, like, walking in? I would walk in like, an Arrow cosplay and, like, walk around.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jubilee cosplay.
That's how you're rolling into class.
Big pink sunglasses and a leather yellow trench coat.
I thought it was
pretty
cool, though.
How was your college?
I mean, Spider-Man, Smallville, X-Men, Arrow. Yeah. That's a lot. Even Supernatural's in there. And there was still other stuff too, but those were obviously the ones
like the
that
big
like
ones.
Jump the big ones for me. Where I'm
that's
like
so cool.
Whoa. I put Arrow on there. I don't know what the Queen Mansion is on that show, but I know that Mike is super into Arrow.
Okay, so Oliver Queen lives there and he is Arrow.
Okay. That's yeah. good to know. I did not know that.
Yes.
Okay, so John gets a meeting with the senator, and the senator, one, he doesn't believe, he thinks he's getting blackmailed.
Which, if shoes on our foot, whatever, I don't know if I would believe him either.
Oh, no. And I'm sure he has people trying to, like, scam him all the time.
Oh, for sure.
You like, know? So
well, and he says like he says something to the effect like this isn't my first rodeo, like how much you want.
Yeah, he just sits down with his checkbook like, okay, go away. Like, how much money do you want? Leave me alone.
All of the money.
Well, then John gives him the pendant and he gives him all the recordings and he's like, I didn't make copies of this. You can check it out. Like, I don't care. I'm the fuck out of here. Because the senator is just like a crabby piece of shit.
Yeah. And the senator gets super pissed. To where he's like in tears because he's so offended that anyone would ever speak ill of his father, that his dad was the most loving man.
Yeah, his dad was this great guy.
I'm like, yeah, because he has a literal skeleton in his closet.
Well, he has a skeleton as well.
Ugh.
Which is even creepier. A skeleton in a well, I think, is creepier than a skeleton in a closet.
What was the ring? Wasn't...
A well.
Well, yeah, but, like, wasn't the girl... Wasn't there something wrong with the girl and they ended up killing her and throwing her in the well and that's why she haunts?
I think she was... The mom just didn't like her. And pitched her down the well. Samara, I think yeah. is her name. And it took her 7 days to die in the well. That's why it's 7 days before she kills you.
7 days.
Oh, great. Now, did we just make a haunted podcast?
Did we? Oh, no. Sorry, everybody. No, that was sad.
All right. Well, John. Claire shows up at John's place and can't find him. And that's when the wheelchair starts chasing her, which I don't. She's like poking around calling for John. I don't know if she
Why
did.
Would
I can't
you
remember.
Go upstairs?
Maybe he's hurt. Maybe something happened.
Maybe she thought John.
It's a haunted house, so yeah. There could be something going on. So she is poking around. Well, then the wheelchair comes down the stairs and it's like chasing after her and she ends up falling down the steps, which it doesn't sound scary when I talk about it.
It doesn't sound scary, but it is
and
scary.
She's a super good actress. And imagine if that happened to you. Any inanimate object chasing you is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if the hairdryer came out of the bathroom right now and, like, came at us, I would be out the door in 2 seconds.
Can you imagine the hairdryer?
Well, I don't know. I just thought inanimate object, and I looked that way, and your bathroom is over there.
Well, that's why, like, it's super creepy in movies when, like, toys move on their own and stuff.
Yeah.
Like a ball.
Like a ball.
I'm very, like, my hands are very gestury tonight.
I am holding my notes up so that I can see them all at one time and still be close to the microphone. But I'm normally like that, too.
Yeah.
So then there's like a slow motion scene where the fire starts. So does Claire. What? Are you taking a picture of me?
I just took a picture.
Okay. So yeah. Claire gets outside. She runs out the door screaming. What do you want, Cooper?
He hears things.
Oh. So Claire runs out the door screaming right when John gets there. He runs into the house and ends up falling over the railing.
Yes.
Well, falls
I feel like
slash
there's
gets
more
pushed
to that,
by
yeah.
a ghost.
Because he goes in to try to like talk to Joseph and Joseph is like, no, thank you.
Not having it. No. So he gets pushed over the railing and then he's laying there and that big giant chandelier is like swinging over him. Mm-hmm. And then the fire starts, which I thought was really cool.
I thought it was really cool. I thought it was very well done, too, how it, like, followed the banister.
Yeah, so a fire starts, I'm imagining, like, the third floor, and it's, there's a big opening that a chandelier's hanging down in, so you can, like,
yeah,
see each floor, kind of like the house in The Omen.
Yes. Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
It's all for you. We need to do that one.
Need to do that one. That's a good one.
So he gets pushed over the railing. He's kind of like out of it. I was hoping he wasn't dead because it was a pretty nasty fall.
Yeah.
And then slow motion, a fire starts at the top of top of the banister and goes all the way around down
just
the
like
steps.
If you put like gasoline on the banister and it just like followed down. Like it looked neat.
If it it had lighter fluid or something on it. So the fire starts and then as he's laying there, John's laying there, he looks over and he sees Carmichael walking into the burning house.
Like Senator Carmichael, but he's being like astral projected or whatever.
Because
it's not him. It's not like really him.
No. He kind of imagines it. Well, at the same time, Carmichael is having like a flashback. Like he puts the medallion over the picture of his father and the photo and the medallion start shaking.
And then he like looks at his medallion.
Yeah.
And then looks at the photo one or the one over the picture. And that's when like.
And it like plays it all for him.
Yeah.
Like he sees it all play out. Gosh. Like the little boy dying and like how terrible it was that his dad could actually do this. Well, then I'm assuming he had a heart attack.
He did. Stroke. He had a heart attack.
But as John is seeing it, he's seen Senator Carmichael walking up the stairs into this like roaring fire.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of bad for him because he didn't know.
He didn't do anything and he didn't know that like his reaction to John coming into his office, his home and making all of these accusations, totally realistic. I don't think there's anything that he did that wasn't warranted.
Yeah.
And I do feel bad because, like, it wasn't his fault. And he didn't know that his dad did that. And, like, to him, all of his money, all of his wealth, his whole life.
Then is fake.
Is fake.
Yeah.
Ugh, God. How devastating.
Unless it's like, oh, you were switched at birth. You're really filthy rich.
Right.
Then you could still love your parents, but then you just inherit this crap ton of money.
You just have all of this money.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a princess from a made-up country.
But this was the other one around. He was an orphan and given this like rich, amazing life.
Would his kids? His kids wouldn't even get the money then.
No, no one would get it.
Wasn't the rightful heir. It would have gone to charity.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I don't know how that would work though for like any kind of fortune that he built on his own.
Well, he got his fortune by having that fortune.
Yes. So I don't know how that would work.
I don't know either.
Well, then the room explodes. And fire everywhere.
Yeah. Claire like runs in and like grabs John. Mm-hmm.
I always think you're going to say more, so I think I have time to take a drink. No, I don't.
You can drink on this. It's.
I don't want to gulp.
I purposely like move my head away now. I'm like.
I try to, but then I get caught off
guard. You don't like gulp, though.
I don't know. Maybe I do. Mike's just too nice to say anything to me about it.
That's probably true. On my notes, too. Okay, so.
Don't gulp.
No, I wrote, so John and Claire ... before I knew that they were actually married in real life.
I mean,
I thought that afterwards,
trauma. I feel like for me, that would be a pretty quick recovery on my part.
Because
if I lost my significant other, but everybody can do their own thing. And I don't know how that would be. So
this probably like the fire and stuff probably happened in like September.
I would say less than a year.
Less than a year.
Yeah.
I would say that too. Oh, and we didn't say what the banging was.
Oh, yeah, we totally missed that.
So while Richard is drowning his son, Joseph is like pounding on the iron bathtub.
Yes.
And that's the noise that John hears.
And it's not, since it's up in that like small room, it's not like an actual bathroom bathtub.
No, it's
more like an old timey like wash basin.
Yeah.
It's big enough for the boy to like fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It's pretty horrible. And like Erin said, like she made a good point. If you're, well, I don't know who is cool with this, but like if that is something that you don't watch on, in a scary movie or feel uncomfortable with, you can easily like fast forward over it. Like, you know when those couple scenes
are coming. When they're coming.
But yeah, I'll put that on the Instagram.
Yeah.
On the IG.
That was super sad. But oh, in the very end, there's like the whole mansion burnt down to nothing. And what's in the ashes? The music box that pops open.
And the wheelchair.
Oh.
The wheelchair is there too.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even notice that. I was focused on.
It's creepy. It's super creepy. And then it made me wonder if like Joseph was at peace then, or was he still angry?
I'd be fucking angry.
I would rage for eternity.
Yeah, which makes me think like that's why the
is music there a box, sequel?
I don't think so. I think there's just the one. There's like a remake of it, which I didn't know.
So it's called Changeling, but I looked into it with Angelina Jolie. Not even the same. Like, similar things because Changeling, kids, whatever.
Yeah.
Not the same. Because I thought it was when we talked on the phone the other day, but it's not.
I also read somewhere, just like briefly skimming because it wasn't like what I was looking for. I was looking for something else, that they are going to do a reboot. Like, in 2020, they had talked about
like doing a reboot. Like, we can... Mike, what's our time right now? Okay. How do you feel about reboots in general?
I always think that I'm going to hate them.
Yes.
But then I end up...
Well, because everybody always, especially with like social media and crap, everybody always bashes.
Everybody has their opinion. God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen... I'm trying to think of like the handful of reboots that I've seen.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The Omen.
I did not like... The new Texas Chainsaw.
Who's in that? It's not Jessica Alba. Jessica Biel.
I think it's too...
I thought it was too graphic.
Graphic.
Yes. In comparison, if you want to look at the old Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and those two are ones that we could probably do later on.
I like it when the people that are being murdered, I have no personality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're drunk college kids, like, or whatever, you know. But like
the old one, they were just college kids, like looking for a good time.
I didn't like it after I can't think of the actor's name now. He gets hung up over the bathtub.
Don't even. And the ring falls out.
And the engagement ring falls out of his pocket.
Didn't like that.
I'm like, you're making this too real. This is because, too real. I don't like it.
Yes. Who is the sheriff in that one? Who's the sheriff in, like, he just passed away, too, like, a year ago. He was the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket, too.
It's because you're asking me, so I can't think of his name.
He's so good. And he's in a lot of those movies, just, like, playing a sheriff or...
In the new one?
I think... Who is it?
E-R-M-E-Y is the last name.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's in the new one. Yeah.
Do you know? Oh, my gosh. Now I'm looking at the cast of Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, that this
okay
could be it.
We're going in the wrong direction.
But, yeah, I think some reboots are really good, and I do think that they get a bad rap.
Like Dawn of the Dead, I thought that was great.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of things as a callback to the original one.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But I think if they redid this one, I would really hope that it wouldn't just be jump scares.
Well, I noticed, too, when I was watching it, there was so many, like, when he, like, is turning to go down a dark hallway. There's so many times when you could see, like, a shadow pass in the background. And I was almost waiting for that or waiting for jump scares because I'm so used to that.
Yeah, I think they could add a lot in with, like, mirrors and, like kind of Bly Manor it a little bit. Like,
yeah. And, like, how, what's the one? I can't, the one with the farmhouse and Aiden.
The Messengers.
The Messengers.
And Aiden. Kristen Stewart.
Yes, Kristen Stewart. Bella and Aiden were there.
I don't know.
And that had like...
That was a good one.
That had some jump scares, but like there was a lot of reflection stuff.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like ghosty. Yeah, the spoon scene was scary. The feet.
Yes. I still, anytime I'm like making the bed, I'm like, oh.
I never fluff my sheets up like that for that reason.
Really?
I do not. I just like throw the sheet across and then I walk from edge to edge and pull it up because I don't want to see rotten ghost feet in my bed.
That's a legit concern.
Traumatized. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like that, I think, kind of had the right amount of jump scares.
Yeah.
But it could have had more suspense. But yes, the suspense gets people. Like, it's an older, like, haunting type thing. Like, The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
The Shining takes a while to, like, build up. It doesn't just start out
scary. Then it burns like a fucking wildfire.
Yes. And then it's fucking out of control. Terrifying.
Nightmares. I want to do The Shining really bad.
Yeah.
But it's one of those ones that everybody kind of expects you to do. Like The Shining, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween.
That's why I like what we're doing. I like how we're just kind of jumping around and picking. Like, neither of us had ever seen The Changeling.
I like that you pick ones that neither of us have seen, because I'm all like, let's do 28 Days Later. Let's do, what's the other one that I want to do? Trick or Treat. Like, let's do all of these ones.
But it's fun. And a lot of the older ones, too, have, like, way more cool information.
Yeah.
Like, weird, fun facts about, like, where they were filmed.
Because I think the older ones have a lot more documentation on, like, the weird shit.
Well, and the newer ones are, there's more, like, computer graphics. Yeah. And, yeah, it's just not the same.
That's true.
I suppose we should probably wrap it up.
We should probably wrap it up. So that was The Changeling. We hope you guys enjoyed that one. We did.
I really liked it.
I would recommend it. Mike was making fun of me because he asked if we were ever going to do one that we wouldn't recommend. There have been a couple that we weren't, that we were like, eh.
Meh, yeah.
But this one, if you like paranormal stuff.
For sure.
For sure.
And it's not gory.
No.
So that's, I mean, good. A lot of people don't like that.
I just don't like the overly gory. But, and I say this after we did like Midnight Meat Train and stuff and like High Tension. But I like the slow burn type ones.
Yeah, where something happens and you're like, I cannot believe that just fucking happened. I can't believe the story is going in this direction. Like, what's happening?
Like when the scene in this, and we'll wrap it up after this. But the scene where Richard has his kid like in the bathtub, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Because that, I thought he might have like drowned in a boating accident or
some other type of accident.
In the bathtub in an accident or something.
Alone in the tub,
like,
or something.
But like, you see his dad and it's whoa.
And I thought it was crazy how in the first like 2 minutes you see his family get run over.
No shit.
Like I know, because I like watching them with Greg, because if something shocking happens, I can look at him and like see his face to see if it's like my face. It's like watching anything with somebody, you know,
laughing. It's like, oh, did you just see that?
Oh, my God. So that happens. And we're both like, holy shit.
It just fucking happened.
I can't believe that just fucking happened.
What? Like the next scene in.
Yes.
Yeah. Dawn of the Dead. Okay.
All right.
But anyway, if you like what you hear, be sure to follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a webpage, and it's /your movie review.squarespace.com. And we upload our episodes on that all the time. We have background information. We have like behind the scenes pics, pictures.
Photographs.
And on our Instagram, too, we upload whatever movie we're going to be doing next. And I think that's it.
And then Chelsea blasts her own personal social media.
I do. Every Monday night. It's my Facebook, my personal Instagram, the actual Instagram, Snapchat. It's everything. And I don't want to do like separate Snapchat accounts and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Meh.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. I hope you liked tonight's episode.
Okay, bye.
Bye.